welcome in to today's show. As of Wednesday, we got a lot of great stuff, great lineup for you, a lot of good content, a lot of good things to talk about, revisit some old products, some old topics that we've kind of covered a little bit before, but I want to get into them and really solve some questions for you, answer some questions. So, later we got the iPhone XS, XR, kind of shake up, what's going on there. Then I'm going to get into a little bit of middle school action, what we should do about middle school and high school, what needs to be done, added, just for, you know, us as a country, as a world, as a society, things like that. So, I want to dive right into this first, though, to start. Talking about Samsung and phone displays, we've obviously talked about, you know, displays a lot. I obviously hate the notch. I'm not a fan of the notch. I think it's ugly, shouldn't be there. Thin, slim bezels are totally fine with me. But let's talk about Samsung's displays and their quote-unquote potential displays we could see in their new S10 and other phones here soon. So, Samsung unveiled, you know, a few new displays earlier this month at their conference in San Francisco. That's where we also saw their first edition of the foldable phone. I've already covered that in an earlier podcast. And that was the Infinity Flex display. So, they also showed on screen some potential new screens, new displays, the Infinity U display, Infinity O display, Infinity V display, and new Infinity display. So, I want to just briefly describe each one. They're not too hard to describe. The Infinity U display looks exactly like the first Essential phone. That was the first phone to have a notch on it. It just looks like an all-screen phone, then with a little U at the top for the notch. Then we move on along to the Infinity O display, which is an all-screen phone. Infinity display, and then it has a little just circular cutout for the camera in the top left corner. And then moving on to the Infinity V display, simply it all just looks like someone took a home plate from a baseball field and stuck it for the notch at the top, right at the top in the middle. That's what it looks like, exactly like a home plate. And then finally with the new Infinity display, that really looks like just a complete bezel-less phones. No motorized camera in it, nothing like that, none of the flipping camera up thing, you know, no notch, no nothing. Completely bezel-less display. That's, you know, obviously the ultimate goal. Now, you've obviously heard a lot of hype around the S10. I'm obviously hearing a lot of hype, very excited about it. I'm all in. I'm going to buy it when it comes out. That's going to be my next phone. But why did Samsung have to unveil or tease all these displays? Why did they have to? They didn't need to, but they went along and did it with the Infinity Flex display. Because really, half of them to me are just crap. They're just crap, half of them. The Infinity V and Infinity U to me, if you look them up, if you Google them, they're just ugly displays. Ugly, ugly, ugly. I really don't know why they thought it was, you know, wise and why they justified it. Tease these, even have these on phones. You know, I would just want to focus on the new Infinity and Infinity O displays, those ones. You know, personally, I think with the Infinity O display, I think I might like the O to be the center of the screen rather on the left side where that camera cutout is. That's just me personally. I'd have to see and use a couple phones, obviously, to, you know, kind of test them out and see what I like. It's kind of a personal preference for people if they like it in the middle or to the left. You know, it's just case by case it goes, I think. But of course, you know, we'd all like the new Infinity to be the on every display on every phone. You know, whether it be the iPhone, the LG V40, whatever the case may be, whatever company, doesn't matter. That's what we want. An all-screen display with no motorized cameras. I don't think anybody wants those motorized cameras. Makes a phone so they're not waterproof anymore, not water-resistant, things like that. Also, if the motorization breaks, how are you going to take pictures anymore? With the Oppo Find X, you can't take any pictures if the motorization breaks. So that's just one thing to think about as well. But again, why did Samsung tease us with these displays? I mean, the V and U are just awful. They're just ugly-looking displays, ugly, ugly notches. More than likely, what my guess is for the V and U displays are, I don't know why this would be, but I could see them put them on budget phones or really low-end phones for some reason. I don't know why they would do that. It'd make the phone look really ugly. The display would not be good. But again, Samsung, why? We loved, if you didn't want to put, you know, if you didn't put these notches on there, we still love the thin bezels on the Note 9 and Galaxy S9. Those are totally fine. You know, if you could slim those down even more, perfect. I'll take it. Put it on the budget phones. Put it on the S10. I'll take it. But if it has this U or V shape, I think it's really going to deter a lot of people away and really make people rethink what phone to get. Because I think Samsung, this new phone, the S10, is going to be a real change. It's going to be a real big seller for them. Because, you know, we saw from the S8 to the S9, a few incremental updates, not a whole lot of new stuff, just a few things here and there. A little slimmer bezels, move the fingerprint sensor, things like that. But other than that, we did not see a lot. So this S10, I think, better be good. There's also rumors going around that the Galaxy A9, which is a lower-end phone, could be rumored to have the first Infinity O display. This would be an LCD screen display, not an OLED display, though. And it'd be more of your budget phone. And then to go along with that, Huawei has teased an image that suggests a phone with a pinhole notch or an Infinity kind of O display as well. This could also come out before any of the Samsung phones do. Just here in a couple weeks, I think in early December. So that's something to look out for. And, you know, with these innovations, though, we're really, really rapidly approaching a true bezel-less phone with no motorization. We don't want any of that motorization. None of that flip phone stuff either. What is it? The Mi Mix 3 is the one that flips up and down. We don't want that. We want it totally bezel-less. We want the camera. If you could hide the camera under the screen and not have a pinhole or cutout, perfect. That's what we want. You know, I think within five years, we should absolutely have that. And the companies, Apple, Samsung, LG, OnePlus, should all have accomplished that. And with that, I want to shift to this, though. I want to shift to social media. And now, folks, I want to talk about the necessities in life and wants in life as well. So, first, a necessity, just something we absolutely as humans need. You know, for example, that's just food, water, shelter, loving family, things like that. Things we just need to get along in life. Because, I mean, if you don't have people to be around, great people to be around, life's going to be a lot less enjoyable and you're not going to be here as long. Well, we also have wants in life, things we just want. We don't necessarily need them in life, but we want them. They're nice. They complement things. They're nice to have. They make us feel good. They make us look good, things like that. You know, things like phones. We absolutely don't need phones. We got along just fine without having phones years and years ago. Shoes, we don't necessarily need shoes, like all these fancy Jordans. We don't need 20 pairs of shoes, but they're nice to have. I like having shoes. I like, having different styles of shoes, wearing different shoes with different outfits. Cars as well. We don't need all these cars. We don't need these nice fancy cars. Cars that go 200 miles an hour for no reason. But we love them. We enjoy them. They're fun to have, fun to drive. And another thing, social media. We don't need it. It's awesome. I like it. I spend probably way too much time on it. Same with a lot of people spend too much time on social media. A lot of addicted to social media. If you look at screen time, a lot of screen times on iPhones will tell you how much time you spend on each app, how much per day. A lot of time is going to be dedicated to social media, such as Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. Even YouTube, things like that. And, you know, but is it something we really absolutely need as human beings? Does it really push us forward? No. I'm sure an idiot would argue that we absolutely need it. It's something we need as human beings. No, it's not. We don't need it. It's just something extra that we can have. And I can't see it going anywhere anytime soon. Probably never. I don't know. But definitely it's not going to get just chopped and deleted and all the companies are going to shut down like that. So shouldn't we be taught how to use this tool? Because it is a tool. You can do a lot of different things with it. It's really how you get information out, show people how to do things, learn about the news. It's really a tool that we use. But with that being said, nobody ever hands a kid a saw and says, here you go, Johnny, go saw some stuff. Don't hurt yourself. No one ever does that. All the parents or teachers or whoever it may be hand the tool to the kid. They show them how to do it properly. They say, all right, be careful. Don't do this. Don't do this. They tell them, how to use a saw so they don't hurt themselves. Same thing goes with a gun. Someone's dad doesn't just hand their son a gun and say, all right, go hunt some stuff. They don't do that. No, they don't. They could go through hunter safety. Their dad goes along with them, shows them how to do it. You know, shows their proper ways to do it, proper technique, things to do, things not to do, just so the kid doesn't hurt themselves, keeps everyone else safe around them. You know, because a gun is a serious thing, and social media can be a serious thing as well. So the same thing should be said about social media as guns, tools, knives, things of all sorts of nature. Because, you know, most people don't know really how to use it properly and what its uses are exactly made for. And, you know, I'm sure some people are just stressing over little things. How many likes I get, why aren't people following me, why won't she comment on my profile, this, you know, all sorts of that thing. And I'm sure there's been kids around the world that have committed suicides for these reasons. I don't have the exact numbers or, you know, what percentage of kids that feel depressed from social media, but it really is making kids depressed, and a few kids are probably killing themselves over it, which is just terrible, and that shouldn't happen. And so, shouldn't we, you know, with all this numbers and data, I mean, it's 2018, shouldn't we teach kids, like teaching them how to use a gun, you got to go through hunter safety, shouldn't we teach kids before they get on social media, all right, you got to go through training, you got to learn how to use it right, shouldn't that be just a basic, that just seems like a basic elementary thing right there. You know, and that's why I think in middle school, high school, for at least maybe 4 semesters out of middle school and high school, teach kids how to use it properly, use different apps, how old you got to be, things like that. Just teach them the basics. Say, you know, look, just because you're not getting a bunch of likes doesn't mean Johnny or Sadie doesn't like you, all right? Don't. Just teach the kids, right? You know, because, I mean, if you look at, you know, even adults or people around the world, they don't know how to use it properly. I mean, some do. Don't get me wrong. Some know how to use it. Some know how to take criticism. Some know that just because people aren't liking my picture doesn't mean they don't like me. You know, example, and I'm not trying to be really critical of him, is Trump doesn't know exactly how to use it right. He said some things that are kind of questionable, kind of like, you know, hey, we don't do that on social media. And, you know, just ask yourself this question. Would you want to be educated how to expand your business, expand your personal brand, if you can make, you know, a little extra money, you know? Would you? I guarantee everybody would say yes. And that's what social media can do for you if you use it right and if you're taught right. So that's why we should teach kids young, teach them in middle school, teach them in high school, you know? And it's not like it can hurt them. It's not like if we teach them the right curriculum, the right proper ways to use it, things, do's and don'ts, it's not like it can hurt them. So I think we need to take this into consideration and start teaching kids in high school, middle school again, teach them what to do. You know, I remember middle school, I took careers for 2 semesters, I think 1 semester in 6th grade, 1 semester in 8th grade. Get rid of careers, teach them social media, teach them how to use it, teach them what it's like to be in the real world, things like that. Or, you know, if you go to a Catholic school, or a private school, you know, just take a year out of religion. You know, they don't need religion for 1 year. They can skip it. It's fine. And teach them about social media because it'll truly benefit them. You know, and if I know some teachers are going to be upset about that, well, teach them, say, hey, look, you can spread religion on social media and this is how you can use it and follow people and interact with them. Just show them. So that's my 2 cents. I'll probably bring that up again, rag on that really, because it really needs to be done and we really need to do something about it. And with that being said, I want to shift towards the news real quick. Just a few things that popped up in the news recently. YouTube annotation, will disappear for good in January. Apple is now boosting iPhone trade-in credit with up to $100 extra when you pick up the new iPhone XR or XS. So trade in your old iPhone, get $100 in credit, which is pretty good. So, you know, if you're looking to buy that expensive iPhone XS, that'll chop the bill, $100. That's 10%, about 10% of the bill. That's pretty good. I was messing around with this a little bit last night. Didn't do too much messing around, but if you're a kid or someone who's younger and likes Netflix, like interactive things, likes games, Netflix now has an interactive Minecraft available. I messed around with it. You basically get to choose your characters, choose what they do, choose the outcomes of the stories, you know, I didn't mess with it too much, but you get to choose how the story's written, how the movie goes. It's kind of interesting. And then Amazon's next move, this next business decision, let's say, is to move into the healthcare software, and they want to mine medical records, have software that uses machine learning to mine records, look through all the records, pull out records, add things to records, things like that. I don't know if I'm all for it yet. I've kind of on the no side. I don't like how Amazon, you know, obviously a really big company, they hit the $1 trillion mark not too long ago. I don't like how they try to be in every market possible, you know. I think companies, not that you only have to stay in one market, you know, like Apple doesn't just do phones, they do laptops, headphones, things like that. But to me, Amazon just seems like they need to get their head in every market. We need to be in this market. Stick to what you're good at. Stick to things that relate to your company, things that you're really good at and you can truly make a difference. Stuff like this, I don't think they can really chew at, because they don't really just put their heart and soul into it and put their time into it, and they're not experts on it. So that's why I really don't like the move as of right now. And then finally, iPhones, Samsung's phones, Galaxy phones, OnePlus devices will be coming to Google Fi. That's kind of Google's own carrier for cell phones. They use, I think, Sprint, T-Mobile, and US Cellular. It kind of bounces between all three of them using the phone. So a lot more phones coming to their own network. I haven't heard too much about that. But that'll just wrap up the news for today, November 28th. And now, just to finish the show, I want to settle this debate kind of once and for all. And people have been saying for a while, you know, hey, back in September and October, wait for the iPhone XR. Just wait for the XR to come out. Don't buy the XS. Just wait. Hold your horses. Save your money. Just wait. All right? Wait to upgrade. Wait to get it. Wait. You don't need a XS. You need a XR. Well, recently, the iPhone XR production have dropped way down. Way, way down. So really, we're hit with a question. Should you wait to buy the iPhone XR? Should you have waited to buy the iPhone XR? Or should you just have bought the XS right out of the gate? And, you know, I think there's just a few things that you look at that really determine the outcome which phone you should buy. You know, some of it's price-based, some of it's specs, and then, you know, also some of it's design and what it packs. So, but I think there's, you know, really two or three really features or specs you can look at and just go, yep, that's why you should buy this phone. And I want to look at those real quick. So number one, numero uno, display. The iPhone XR has an LCD display. The pixels per inch on the phone are the exact same as the iPhone 4, which is not bad, but it's an LCD display compared to the OLED display on the iPhone XS. That's why, one reason, iPhone XS better than the iPhone XR. Next, bezels. They have the same notch, same size notch. That's not really, I don't really like the notch, but it's not going to make a difference. It's the same size notch. It doesn't matter which one you buy. But the bezels around the outside of the phone, the chin, are thicker on the XR, and I think it can be an eyesore. If you really look at the XR or XS first, and you look at the XR, I think it really can become an eyesore for you. Doesn't look as good, a little thicker. So that's something to take into consideration. So obviously we'd have the display, the bezels, those two. 3D touch, not a huge deal, but 3D touch is not in the iPhone XR. They cut it out. You know, it's obviously a little cheaper phone. Not a huge deal. People don't use it all the time. I actually enjoy it. Actually, I like using the 3D touch. I think it's cool. I like using it a little bit. But then another thing is size. The iPhone XR only comes in one size, 6.1 inch screen. That's kind of the mid range. It's not too big, not too small. Only one size. So that kind of holds it back. If you had options like 5.8 inches, 6.2, just two options, a small and a big, I think it'd be a little more popular, but it does not. And then one last thing, pretty much, is the camera. The iPhone XR does not have quite as good of a camera. It only has one lens on the back. It's the same lens as the primary lens in the iPhone XS. So you're getting that same primary lens, but there's no telephoto lens on it. And you're not allowed to do portrait mode on the iPhone XR on objects. If you want to do portrait mode, you have to do it on people, and it searches for people, use AI as a search for people, and it will not allow you to take a picture if there's no people in the picture. So that kind of holds you back there with the camera. So you're kind of taking steps back with the camera. And the iPhone XS camera is probably a top three camera out there right now. You know, number one, got to give it to the Pixel 3 right now. It's just, you know, a great camera, just better than everybody else. So those are the kind of main factors determining why you should not buy the iPhone XR. And I do not think you should. I think you should just get the iPhone XS. Skip the XR, go to the XS. And another thing just to look at is price. Obviously, the XR is priced a little lower than XS. Right around $800. You know, you're going to pay about $800 for the phone. But, you know, $800 is not really a budget phone. That's not a budget phone at all. Budget phones are like $500 range. $500 lower, maybe $550 and lower, that's a budget phone. So $800, you're still spending a lot of money on a phone. So I don't really think you should wait for the iPhone XR. You know, just pay a few extra bucks for a little more quality iPhone XS. It just makes sense. I mean, like I said again, $800 is not a budget phone at all. They want to make it seem like it's a budget phone because it's cheaper, but it's not. Same thing with the color schemes. Those colors, they want you to make it, you know, make it think it's kind of like the 5C, but the 5C was more of a budget phone than this. It's way different than the 5C. So again, take what information I've given you. Don't buy the XR. Buy the XS. It'll be worth your money, worth your time. You'll get better value out of it. The screen will just be way better to look at. Thinner bezels. And then the camera as well will just be way better to use. So with that being said, that concludes today's episode of the podcast. Thanks for tuning in. And as always, just be sure to tune in, catch us tomorrow. You know, we're 5 days a week, every morning. So again, thanks for tuning in.